Let's talk more about this awful loss. Chris Bisignano, Giant Insider, joins us now as a guy who covers the Giants, but is also a longtime Giant fan. Were you thinking what Joe and I were thinking, which is at 21-10, it's the Eagles, it's Philadelphia. You're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're waiting to see how they find a way to lose this game. Take me through your thoughts on that.
Well, good afternoon, first off. You know what's weird, Evan, Joe? Last few years, I would have thought that. This year, for some reason, when it was 21-10, I was feeling better right up until Ryan Lewis allowed Hightower to get behind him. Mm. And that gave the whole Eagle team life. And I, after that, they went down, they scored. They didn't get the two-pointer. But I started saying, okay, here we are at the link. Here it comes again. And then, obviously, after the Evan drop, you knew what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, look, you totally knew what was going to happen at that point in time. But, look, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Chris, we were just talking about it.
Right.
This has been – there's a number of games. I mean, this game, the Cowboy game, right. You know, I mean, if you want to give me the Bear game, but specifically those two games where the Giants just did everything they could to lose the game – where they clearly outplayed the opponent. And that's what happened last night, and that's what happened in the Dallas game.
Yeah, look, Joe, you look at this and you say, hey, you know, this team could have three wins.
Easy.
No question.
Easy.
You know?
Maybe four. I mean, maybe they could the Bears, the Rams, they did play them pretty well. I mean, maybe they get one of those, you know?
Yeah, look, I mean, the last three games, the defense gets – well, look, they were fortunate against Washington because the defense gave up another long drive, and they didn't convert the two-point. You know, Rivera went for the two-point instead of the overtime. And a Dallas game, the defense can't get a stop against a backup quarterback. I know it's an experienced one in Andy Dalton and all that, but still, he's a backup quarterback. You know, and then obviously this week, blowing a 21-10 lead with six-plus minutes.
And penalties have hurt him too, Chris. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, yesterday they hurt him. They hurt him, obviously, in the Dallas game. It cost them two touchdowns. In the Cowboy game, I mean, that's been another factor with the Giants as well.
Yeah, you know what, Joe, Evan? It's stupid football, man. Stupid football.
Yeah.
The penalties are killing them. Ryan Lewis's, you know, the other guy, Madre, you know, with the stupid personal foul penalty. I mean, it's just the football intellect is just not high with a lot of guys on his team. Now, you got to give Judge time. I mean, he comes from a program where, hey, if you're not a football intellect guy, you're out of here with Belichick. So it's going to take time to weed out. But you have to remember some other things, too. You know, Ryan Lewis, beginning of the year, wasn't even a thought, okay? And then things happen with Baker. Beal opts out. And next thing you know, they're down to Ballantyne, Yiddum, and now this guy, all right? So there's a lot of guys who are on the field that won't pencil to be on the field. But you can't keep shooting yourself in the foot time after time with penalties, stupid mistakes, turnovers. Hey, this is part of learning how to win. I know George doesn't want to hear that. Coaches always want to say, well, there's no such thing as learning how to win. It's execution. But that's part of it. You know, that's part of it on how to learn how to win is to eliminate those mistakes, eliminate those penalties, and the Giants just haven't been able to do it.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the beginning of this game. After the Eagles march down the field, they make it look easy to go up 7-0. I'm not sure what Joe Judge was doing, whether he was thinking about going for it on 4th-and-3. But either way, he had the Philadelphia Eagles completely confused, and they could have run a brilliant fake punt. Corey Ballantyne is just wide open. There's nobody within a mile of him. Take us through what you saw in that play and why it backfired for the Giants.
Well, it looked like Judge was thinking about it, and then he said, no, get out there. Get the punt team out there, okay? And the Eagles were totally confused because the Eagles had the defense, and then they tried to switch to the punt return. And nobody, as you saw, was covering Corey Ballantyne on the outside, and it looked like Riley Dixon was pointing. Look, you can't just stop screaming his name over and over, and that's going to alert the Eagles. So Riley's pointing over at him and looking at the sideline, probably like, you want me to throw this, you know? I don't think it was a plan. That wasn't planned, guy. I don't believe it was planned. It was just thinking where the Eagles were confused. They didn't cover the gunner. And then Riley Dixon saw it and says, trying to get Corey's attention, like, nobody's out on you, you know? So, but Corey was just so focused on the snap that he didn't even look back. And I'm sure guys were on the sideline even screaming at him. There's nobody out on you, you know. This is what I mean, guys, by football intellect. Okay? Another stupid mistake. And that could have been a huge play. There was nobody in front of Ballantyne. That could have been a 30, 40-yard gain.
Yeah. No, look, there's no question about it. Another thing, too, is Andrew Thomas, who just had a miserable night last night. And I was surprised that that Judge didn't make a move there with Pert and put Pert back in the game. He actually played pretty well against Washington a week before. I understand Andrew Thomas is your future, but I wouldn't have had a problem with him sitting him down with the way he was really getting abused all night long.
Joe, I was surprised by that because, you know, last week Andrew Thomas missed a backside block on a 3rd-and-1, and Judge put Pert in. Now, Judge will never say a guy is, you know, benched or he sat, you know, he brought him on the sideline, he kind of sat him down. He hates to say that, Joe. He'd rather have a root canal and say that. So what he says is a rotation, okay? But last week, that rotation was kind of, he yanked Thomas and put Pert in after he missed that backside block. So yesterday, last night, you're watching Thomas, you know, really struggle. He gave up numerous pressures, 2 sacks. I'm with you, Joe. I was surprised the rotation, quotation marks, didn't put Pert in there. They didn't get Pert in the game because Thomas was really, really struggling. And, I, you know, you're sitting and you're waiting and saying, okay, Joe, what are we doing? You know, Colombo's got to be, all right, let's get that rotation going. In other words, get him out of there, you know. But it never happened. And it cost the Giants, you know, in a few situations. The kid Thomas is really, really struggling. And Pert and his, you know, limited stats this season has looked pretty decent. So, yeah, no question about it, Joe. That was a surprise.
So, to where I look at it with Andrew Thomas, and he's not a bust. It's only, you know, 7 weeks into his NFL career. There's no preseason. We all understand it. And you got to give young guys time. But you got three options. You can just let him play through this. You could just say, you know what? We picked him top in the draft. He's just got to figure it out. They could bench him. They could move him to the right side. I mean, initially, he was going to be the right tackle this year before Nate Solder opted out.
Yep.
What would you consider moving him to the right side? Would you just let him play through it, or would you bench him for the time being? How should Joe Judge handle this moving forward?
Well, I think, look, it's a number one pick, 4th overall, the whole deal. They think he's the future left tackle. So that's why they're sticking with him. I mean, but how long can you stick with him when he protects Daniel Jones' blind side? I mean, to me, you got to work pertinent in there and then rotate, get Thomas over on that right side. And like you said, Evan, that was the original plan, you know? So, you know, Judge always talks about and preaches, I'm putting the best players out there. I don't care where you drafted this and that. Okay, well, right now, he's not the best left. And you look at it, he's not the best left tackle on his team right now. Matt Pert, right now, I'm not saying down the road, five games from now, and all that. Nobody's giving up on Thomas. Nobody's labeling him a bust and all that. But right now, you talk about putting the best players out there, it's Pert over Thomas. You know, so how Judge proceeds with this is, you know, to be determined, you know, if they start working him over on the right side. But to me, guys, I think he stays there, you know, for a while because this is who they want. And, you know, this is what they why they draft him to be that left tackle for the next 10 years.
What do you think of the quarterback? Do you like the quarterback or not?
Yeah, look, Joe, obviously there's some things he needs to clean up, turnovers being number one. But you know what, guys? You've seen what he could do at times, man. He got another weapon back last night with Shep. That made a big difference.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
That made a difference. All right? Get him an offensive line. Turnovers is a major issue. We understand that. You can't keep turning over. If you keep doing that, you're going to be, you know, it's not going to work out here. But you look at him, you look at his arm, you look at some of the things he does, and you say to yourself, okay, you know what? We got our guy here, but we need to do this. Look, the offensive line's been a major disappointment, and that falls strictly on Dave Gettleman. Strictly. Okay? 3 years he's had a shot at building this line, and 3 years it hasn't worked out. And guess what? Like I just said, we're not going to label nobody a bust. We're not going to say Thomas is this and that. But the 4 big guys that came out of college, right? Gettleman went with Andrew Thomas, and guess what? Andrew Thomas is the worst one to come out of the Big Four right now.
So far, he is,
Yeah.
I mean, look,
no, you're right.
Let's say
you're
like it
is. You're 100% right.
Let's
no,
say,
you're right.
I mean, the Becton kid that you guys got, it looks three times better than Thomas.
Be nice if he plays. Be nice if he played all the time. But yeah, you're right.
Oh, well, listen, Joe. You know, it happens. You know, I understand. I know you're frustrated and this and that. But the limited time he's played, the kids look really good.
He's looked good.
You know,
yeah.
So right now, you say, all right, Dave, you went with Thomas out of the big four, and right now it doesn't look very good. Now there's plenty. We all know plenty of. Plenty of games left and plenty of the future and all that. But Gettleman, you know, has 3 years to work at his offensive line. And he's drafted a Will Hernandez, and he's just been a mediocre guard. You know, Zeitler's play has dropped this year. You know, he brought over Cam Fleming, you know, to be the swing this year, and he wound up being right tackle. He's been just okay, you know. And so Jones doesn't have a lot of help right now, guys. I really believe. You look at last night, and you say to yourself, you know what? Get this kid an offensive line. You know, Shep's back and all that. We'll be all right with Jones.
I'll tell you the other thing, and he showed it off again probably in the most impressive way, and I don't want to hear about him falling down. I mean, no quarterback's used to running, yeah. You know, 87 yards for a touchdown. This guy makes plays with his legs. He does it weekly. And I know there's risk in running design plays for your quarterback. You get hit, you could get hurt. I get it. I'm not suggesting Daniel Jones should be rushing 15 times a game. But do you agree that it should happen more often? Because his legs is such a great weapon right now.
You know, just a quick story, guys. Last year in training camp, Jones ran a zone read, and he broke in the open field. And we saw his speed. And I'm telling you, we were all on the sideline. We looked at each other. Our jaws dropped. We were like, I'm talking about all the beat writers. We were like, wow, you know. Last week and then last night, you saw how fast he is. I believe last night he might have set a record. Oh, he had the fastest time, right?
Yes.
At 23 miles an hour.
Faster than Lamar Jackson, which is stunning.
I mean, Lamar did that last week against the Eagles. He did the same thing, a zone read, went for like 40-something yards. And I think Jones' time was faster last night.
Yeah, it was. It was.
You know what, Evan? You don't want to see your guy getting blasted four or five times a game. But that zone read has to be part of the arsenal because you see what a weapon it is. Now, he has to understand some things, Jones, on his own read. Like last week, he took a big hit in the secondary. He took a few big hits, you know. And judges talk, like, you can't be taking these hits. I don't care how big you are and all that. He has to understand that, but you cannot eliminate that zone read. It's such a weapon for the offense.
Chris, your assessment, and I think he's actually played pretty well. I mean, obviously, I wasn't upset that my team traded him away. But Leonard Williams, what's your assessment right now of how he's playing this year?
He's having a real solid season, Joe. A real solid season.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I do agree with that.
Yeah, he's got three sacks, numerous pressures. You know, he takes on so many double teams too, Joe. So many. That opens up things for, like, Blake, you know. He's playing really well. Really well. Look, we're not gonna, the argument where he was drafted, how much money, you know. Look, we've discussed that numerous times. And I know people were pissed off, the $16 million. But I tell you what, it's the same old story, right, guys? Okay, he's making $16 million. If he plays mediocre, what is he doing making $16 million? But you know what? Who's really saying? Who really cares right now he's making $16 million the way he's playing? Now,
I'm not saying
he's playing Aaron Donald level, but I'm saying he's having a real good year.
All right, here's a tough question, I think. Now what? They're 1-6. They got Tampa Bay on a Monday night. Yeah, they got the divisional games with Washington and Philadelphia. And yeah, the NFC East stinks. It still stinks, despite what happened. But what are the reasonable expectations now? Because last night felt like a playoff game. Last night felt like a big night feel. And to me, it was squandered. So what are the expectations now moving forward?
Joe, one game at a time. Keep making progress. Try to win football games as you're making progress. Joe and Evan, keep winning football games as you try to make progress. That's the goal. I mean, expectation-wise, they don't look at it like that. It's not like, all right, we got to try to get the four. It's like, all right, what are we doing next? We got Tampa up. Let's try to make progress. Let's keep this guy making progress, the quarterback, and all that. That's what the expectation is. You know, I mean, look, obviously, we're looking at a three-win season, maybe four tops. You know, nobody's going to say that. Of course, nobody's going to say that in the building. But Judge is the type of guy. It's like, okay, next game, you know, we expect to win it. We're going to gear towards winning it. And that's what we're going to do, you know. And he talks about progress and all that. Nobody wants to hear that and all that. But, you know, because you got to win games, right? You got to win games. But that's the expectation. It's like, okay, next game, we're going to try. We got Tampa in 10 days. Let's go out there and beat Tampa. You know, fan expectation is what is it? You know, maybe when you try to win four or five games, you know, nobody's winning this division. I don't care. You know, once the Eagles get everybody back, they'll probably take this division because Dallas is a mess right now. It looks like in a locker room with Dalton, the whole deal. So what is, you know, six wins going to win the division? Seven, you know, tops, seven. I don't see the Eagles even getting eight wins. But that's it, Evan. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just keep moving forward, like Judge says. Keep moving forward.
All right, so they win three or four games this year. That's what they wind up winning, okay? Yeah. Did they fire Gettleman? Did they put themselves in a position?
Yeah, Gettleman's gone. Even though
you got a coach in there, because I saw this happen with the Jets when they fired Tannenbaum and they brought that brutal John Idzik in, and they kept Rex. And that set the franchise. They haven't recovered from that. To me, that is the line of demarcation that has gotten them to the point that they are now, when they've been, you know, no playoffs for 10 years and, you know, they're in. They got the worst head coach in football, and on and on and on. Are you ready to put yourself in that position where you're going to fire the GM, and now you got a coach in there because they're not getting rid of Judge no matter what?
Nope.
How about that? That's not a very functional way to go.
Nah, listen. This was the chance Mara took when he kept Gettleman last year. You know, and Gettleman hired Judge and all that. But I don't see how you bring Gettleman back if this is a 4-win season. Don't see it, you know. Look, this roster has a lot of holes, and one of the main holes of this roster is the offensive line, and that's the responsibility of the general manager. Okay, and he hasn't.
Well, he emphasized it too when he came in, which makes it worse.
Yeah, you know, the hog mollies, and I'm going to build it from the inside out, and all that. It hasn't worked out, guys, and I don't see, you know, a third year under his watch with another where we have a 5-win. A 4-win, and now you're looking at maybe a 3 or 4 again.
That ain't enough.
I cannot see how Mara keeps him. I really don't. You know, obviously the new guy that comes in, if they bring a new guy in, it's part of the package. Hey, listen, Judge is my, because Joe Judge isn't going anywhere.
No.
He's going nowhere.
No.
Okay?
No.
So it's going to be a part of, I can work with Joe. We're going to work on this and that. And, you know, that's going to be part of the package. So, but to answer your question again, guys, no, I don't see Gettleman staying.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Chris, great job as always. We really appreciate you
coming
on.
Hang in there, Chris. Hang in there.
Thank you, guys. Nice talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, man.
All right,
Chris Spisignato, Giant Insider. Him and Jerry Foley do a great job with that paper, and they also have a podcast you should definitely check out.